So the last number of shiurim, we had a chance to enjoy the Chazon Ish's unique style, his unique flavor, and his unique approach to, specifically, we saw in the second parak of the Sefer, his unique approach to bitachim. Now we turn our attention to the fourth parak, the Chazon Ish's Sefer Emunah Bitachim, and we'll see his unique style, his unique flavor now applied to the world of midos, to the world of character development. Taras Hamidos Ha'amidu Chach Mehayira Leferek Miyuchad B'Shleimus Ha'avodah. It begins by sort of sketching out what other people think. What's often assumed? If you look through the Sifrei Musar and you get the distinct impression that, number one, that Midos is sort of like a separate realm within Avodas Hashem. Stands independent of other mitzvahs. And number two, Afshak du alehem lefarkam lemidos misper. And only do many Sifrei Musar see midos as something apart from the rest of halacha. But they analyze further and break down the world of midos into specific sub-items. Kas is to see different bad midos as independent objects, independent actors. Kaath, gava, taiva. There's one midara of anger, of unchecked temper. Another midara of arrogance. A third, taiva, unchecked desire. Avas hakavod is a fourth. Pursuing recognition, pursuing fame. Avas hanitzuach. Too strong a taste for competitiveness and for winning is everything. Nekama, tsarasayim, the will to revenge, being stingy, being ungenerous towards others. V'chayotzeven. The Sifrei Musar presents these as sort of like separate items. Umerov ha-hergel, and because of the repetition of this idea, nikba b'lev rabim she-be'emes ha-shlemus hi-balas evarim nifrad. Over time, it sort of generated this popular perception or misperception that wholeness, that character development, sort of a lot of different unrelated parts. There's obviously an irony in the wordplay in this, that shlemus is many evarim, that being a more perfected person, shalem also means whole. The wholeness is actually many different parts. Amnam ze emes mitzad chali ha-nefesh, umitzad mareches ha-krav, connected mashchasosim. So it might be true from a point of view of strategy, from a point of view of tactics. You may need to have a different approach to addressing temper and to addressing competitiveness and to addressing stinginess. But fundamentally, b'shar hasham ein kan rak mida achas tova. The Chazon Ish begins by attacking sort of the second urban legend, the second misperception, the notion that there are a host of unrelated independent mitos. He said that from a practical perspective, perhaps, but fundamentally, there's one good mita and there's one bad mita. And what we see are many different facets of a single gem, many different aspects or many different tentacles of a single bad mita. Amida, what is the good midah? What is the bad midah? Amida hara is hahaznacha es hachaim hativim, or mahalchem hativim. Not bad midos, but the bad midah is just sort of allowing life to progress naturally, just sort of letting things flow. Belikal eshtadlus is allowing myself to just flow through life, and to do that which comes naturally. It won't take effort to become to excel at midos rose. All the midos rose. Yeah, in kas and mitzuyan, noke mitzuyan, geya mitzuyan. I'll be an excellent kasam. I'll excel at being angry. I'll excel at taking revenge. I'll excel at being arrogant. And so forth. If I sort of just allow life to, if I just go with the flow and just allow inertia to carry me through life, over time, all the different midos raos will make their appearance and will grow and will set in. So what's the midah tova? The midah hatova is a haskama hamuchletes, the thorough decision, levaker es haregesh hamusari al haregesh hataavoni. The clarity in my own mind to give pride of place, to give precedence to the ethical gesture over the movement towards desire. In other words, to be a person of self-control, and to be a person who's not just gonna let his body determine his life, but is gonna seek to figure out what's right, what ought I to do. Making decisions rather than allowing a moral inertia to rule me. From this point, from that core, I'll be working to defeat all the various midos raos. And he says, you got to realize this, there needs to be clarity about this. This can't be a halfway decision. Because the poetry is beautiful. A person who was adopting the Midah Tova, a person who is enlightened by his mind, the light of his mind has woken him. And the sparkle of his neshama awakens him to choose Tov, who show eith b'sha'a Tova l'tov li mitzar. If you realize that this is goodness, then you want it. You want as much as you can have of it. I'll never be satisfied. I'll never be content with, okay, I've done enough. There's a great quote I just came across today. From the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Ezel Asher Sameach Bechelko," who's a the truly wealthy person is the person who's satisfied with what he has. He said, that's great advice, begashmius, and it's terrible advice, beruchnius. He said, that sense of contentment, of taking joy in what you have, rather than always focusing more on what I have than what I strive for, is great advice in terms of the material part of my life. But it's to be content spiritually is to deaden ambition. To deaden ambition of what's truly important. The language he uses, Eino Roas Veil Anafsho, B'chol Tov Shiasa. When I see that which is truly good, whatever I think is the ends of life, I'm not going to be content with anything less than dynamically, ambitiously, continuously striving for more. The Tanan were teaching us in Avos that if I take material success as the ultimate goal of my life, that's not going to bring me joy, that's not going to bring me satisfaction. That will ironically not bring me a sense of material wealth. So in the material part of my life, sameach b'chelko. But when I realize that, if I reckon my eyes are opened to realize that the material part of my life is meant as a tool to get me somewhere, it'll allow me to be sameach b'chelki materially, and I won't be sameach b'chelki with what I've already accomplished spiritually, because I see that's the goal, that's the destination. If that's the destination, I'm always pushing for more. V'hu ro'eh olam nitzchi, bilti keith v'bilti tachas. I see an unbounded, infinite, eternal world, and I see that there's something beyond the here and now. Kerega yisaev kol midos ro'os yachad. So in a moment, I'm gonna turn away from bad news. In a moment, and it's gonna take time to put that realization into practice. But fundamentally, what's the Chazanish saying? Is there a greater sense of goal, a greater sense of mission beyond just the here and now and the pleasures of the body, or is that all there is? And it sounds like he's saying that is the Midah Tova, and that is the Midah Ra. Is there a sense that there's something beyond the here and now, and I want my my mind and my neshama to be in the driver's seat. And not that I seek to get rid of my desires, but I seek to have my desires work for my mind and my soul, rather than the reverse. Rather than my desires are calling the shots, and my mind is following suit. Who's in charge? He's going to use a language later in this parak of Yetzer Tov Shofto and Yetzer Hara Shofto. And he seems to adopt, we'll see later, Bli Neder, the notion of am I a person whose Yetzer Tov Shofto, his Yetzer Tov judges him, or my person whose Yetzer Hara Shofto, his Yetzer Hara judges him. The Chazon Ish, Kedarko in this pamphlet doesn't quote recent Svarim by name, but one gets the impression that he has the approach of the Baal HaTanya in mind, to that turn of phrase that Gemara has, that it means, well, it doesn't mean my Yetzer Tov judges me, my Yetzer Hara judges me. Baal HaTanya says, and the Chazon Ish seems to assume as well, it doesn't mean, you know, adjudicating what my status is now that I've done X, Y, and Z. Yetzer Tov Shofto, Yetzer Hara Shofto means, how is my decision making working? What's driving my decision making? Not how am I judged afterwards, post facto, but how do I make decisions? Well, who's in the driver's seat? Is the Yetzer Hara Tov in the driver's seat? Yetzer Hara in the driver's seat? Is my body working for my soul, or is my soul working for my body? Who's controlling the will? It sounds like he's saying that's at the core of Midos Tovos Midos Ros, or as he puts it, Mida Tova versus Mida Ra. What's driving me? The here and now, or as he put it, the Regesh HaMusari, the moral ethical gesture, the movement towards eternal meaning, over the Regesh HaTavoni, the movement towards immediate pleasure. And so that's sort of his first major idea, to understand that at the root of all midos is really this one core question, is what's in charge? What part of me is in charge? Who's listening to whom within me? Now in paragraph B, as he points out, you might wonder whether my striking assertion is really true. I'm asserting that fundamentally all midos are one, and that they're different facets of a single underlying reality. Now, he says, well, imanu motzim lefamim yechidim sheyichusim lemidos eino al tzad hashivya b'chol midah midah. You'll tell me I've come across plenty of people who aren't, you know, equally developed or undeveloped across all different aspects of character. Some people, kamoshu inuhu, you'll come across people who are strong in certain midas tovos and weak in others. For instance, midas hataiva leharev lechech lo tavrin odaydim. You have a person who enjoys a good steak, but his palate is not so overwhelming that it's going to drive him to do the wrong thing. But avas hakavo tavrin odaydim. But when there's an opportunity for recognition, there's an opportunity for fame, he loses everything. Everything falls by the wayside. So he said, look, how can you argue that fundamentally all midos are one and everything's working in tandem? They don't always work in tandem. Look at this fellow. He has control over carnal desire, but he doesn't have control over redifa sakava. So it could be any other sort of combination. The fellow's... you know, he might not be a cruel person, might be a soft, compassionate person, but very arrogant, right? Or so on and so forth. Right? He may be very competitive, but is able to practice self-control in terms of desires. So how do you make sense of this? Chazon says, come on, you'll say to me, it's just untrue. It's a beautiful concept, beautiful philosophy, but it doesn't fit the facts. Look at it empirically. He says, no. Sibas adavra eina b'sharosho. This is not, the cause of this is not fundamental. It's not that fundamentally he has embraced self-control, self-discipline, but has not embraced limiting avas hakavod. On a fundamental level, they're all one. But practically speaking, this is a difficult melchama. If I'm in principle committed to a meaningful life, I'm in principle committed to a life of eternal meaning. So the root is in place, but there's a long road from that realization to implementing this, to developing all those midos tovos. Milchama zu kvedim o, that's a difficult battle, the battle against midos roz. Ve'ein nitzchono ha'shalim batuach. Total success is not assured. This could be a journey of a lifetime. This could be lifelong goals to develop midos, to act in a way, to conduct myself in a way that's consistent with the understanding that I have within. So he says, look, Zehayish Adain Lo Hagiv Malaso Lenatzeh Harbe. This fellow, he may have the fundamental midah tova in place, but he hasn't yet reached the point of the level of great success. So far, he's only been able to succeed at easier nisyonos. Hasn't yet developed himself to be able to deal with the really difficult situations. So, and he says, look, what hard for one person is easy for another. Each person has his own profile of nisyonos. Each community has its own profile, and each individual has his or her own profile. Which challenges are more difficult for me? Which challenges are more easily doable? So zeh shetivo note elakas yosim mintiyaso leharif. One fellow's temper is stronger than his desire. Desire for that which is sweet. He's going to move ahead in terms of better midos as they play out with the arev, that which is sweet and beautiful. He'll make strides in that realm before he makes strides with his temper. The meal of someone else. This is Zenish, the second individual. Second fellow does not have such a strong temper, doesn't have such a desire to let loose in that way, but it has great material desire. So miskadem etzlo, apreshim minakas, apreshim minar. If calm is easier for him than self-control, so then he'll grow into calm before he grows into self-control. It's going to be true for any other pair of midos. So he says, you got to realize, in other words, of course, different people are different in terms of particular natios, in terms of particular tastes, in terms of what's my Achilles heel? Which things do I desire more? Which things do I desire less? Everyone has his own personality. He's not arguing that all people have fundamentally the same personality, or that all people have fundamentally the same profile of which nisyonos are harder, which are easier. In terms of that, it's very individualized. But he says, but there's one root concept that's playing itself out within the context of each unique person. The root is common. The root is as he said before, the midah tova of putting the regesh musari over the regesh ta'avoni. But that's a process. It's a process within, and then even when I have that clarity, it's going to be a process of months and years and maybe decades of expressing that and working that, allowing that to trickle through all the ins and outs of my personality. And over time, if there's an authentic Yeter Tov Shofto within, so over time, pieces are going to fall into place with work or with time. Pieces are going to fall into place, but that's a process. That's a process. So he says, what do you look like when you're midstream? Well, it could take on many different presentations depending on what I'm like, and depending on which things are easier for me, which things are harder for me. So which pieces are going to fall into place first and which will take longer, that's very personalized. But at its root, there's a single concept that's in play. And then he adds another point. When you see people who are sort of caught betwixt and between, it's sort of like this inconsistent mix of some great midos and some very unpleasant midos. Al-Harova, it may just be, look, the fellow's in flux and he's in process and he's growing into midos tovos, and these things have fallen into place are easier and other things are more difficult to have him fall into place, yeah? But he says, often, Al-Harova, Anashim ha'ile lo miklal ha-shoktim al-hashleim osim, b'mido ha-ruya. And you see people are sort of like, you know, some midos are, things are askew, so lots of times what that'll mean is that it may often be a sign this isn't a person who's investing himself in an organized way with consistent effort on growing his or her midos. It may just be more like he's basically a decent, good person. So those things which are noach lahem, those midos tovos which come easier to this particular person, that's in place. But the rest, whatever is more difficult for this person, but the rest, the parts that are for me more difficult, if I'm not working on it in a consistent way, it'll sort of just, you know, I'm a basic good person, some things are in place, and the rest is just, you know, I is what I is. So the Chazon Ish is painting for us a picture of realizing sort of this balance of every person has his own personality, every person has his own nitios, but what we're looking at, the core dynamic, so this could play itself out in a thousand different ways, but the core dynamic is number one at first, sort of the clarity of purpose. What part of me is making decisions? Who rules whom within me? And then once that core Yetzer Tov Shofto is in place, once the clarity of there's eternal value to be seized, there's eternal meaningfulness to be seized, and that I realize that's more critical. That regesh musari, the movement towards that, is going to take precedence over the ephemeral regesh ta'avoni. So then it's a question of feeling that deeply and being willing to consistently work over time on trying to give expression to that. And if that's in place, then over time, the pieces will fall into place. Maybe let's close for this evening. Let's see if questions. It's been very quiet.
Life is a continuing process. Self-assessment. Point, I think, he's trying to make.
Right, and this is just his first movement. I think maybe next week we'll pick up with the second movement. I want to wrap up for this evening the first movement with what he writes in section Dalet, because he points out in section Dalet that he thinks that what he's been developing in the last couple of paragraphs is really a mission of Pirkei Avos. Yeah.
So you try to avoid the Tzara thing. It's almost that I could do the same act. It's either I'm refraining from doing good or I'm doing bad. Mm-hmm. The way I frame it is that. He's trying to say, like, every act can either be giving it to my Yetzer HaTov or not giving it to my Yetzer HaTov.
What do you mean? It sounds interesting. I'm not sure what you mean.
My Yetzer HaTov says I shouldn't drive on Shabbos. It says go to shul. I decide not to go to shul because I'm not giving it to my Yetzer HaTov to go to shul, rather than my Yetzer HaRa says that don't go to shul. Okay, the same act. You say you should always be on the focus of the Yetzer HaTov, even if you're not giving into it, rather than the Ra, or is it really the same thing and there's no distinction?
I'm not sure that I understand the distinction that you're making.
Okay.
But
it's the lack of good, bad, and that's basically is that what he's trying to say?
There's a lack of good, bad. He is presenting a binary vision. You know, many, many iterations. They're fundamentally binary, but it's going to express itself in thousands of ways, and there'll be millions of iterations in the course of a lifetime. So it's going to produce a very complex texture, but and every person has his own unique texture, but fundamentally it's well, am I The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which he does not quote right now, is where the Mishnah is talking about being Ose Ritzono Kirtzonecha.
Right.
There's that struggle to align my will with that of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I believe Rabbi Yona writes that, that the struggle itself is a keem of Yerushalayim. Even if I've struggled to align my will with that of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I don't succeed. If I succeed, so I fulfilled whatever mitzvah it was, or I avoided whatever it was, in addition to the struggle. But even if I struggled and ultimately did not succeed in acting on what I understood to be Ritzon Hashem, but the fact that I struggle with it, the struggle itself is a fulfillment of Yerushalayim. But that in many ways is really what he's talking about. It's understanding that often that which I want in the immediate sense and that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from me will diverge. It's part of growth is to be able to not always be in conflict by sort of like the global fix of embracing Ritzon Hashem and then making it my Ritzon rather than always being a head-to-head conflict. I think he's capturing both of those aspects in talking about this. In other words, is it just regesh tavoni? What's inside of me? Is it just the here and now is what's driving decisions, or am I aligning my ratzon, my immediate in the moment ratzon with the ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu? The ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which ultimately, ideally, will be my long term ratzon as well.
It's a continuous movement.
Right.
You may not get to the end, but that doesn't relieve you of the responsibility.
Right. Yet another mission in Pirkei Avos. Right.
It's a song.
You can't, I'm sorry?
It's a song.
Yes.
Yes.
And a mission. Every tar from it, I think.
Sachs had quoted one of his articles. He quoted Martin Luther King. I may not get there, but we know where I am. Which on the mountain. But it's an interesting, it's a theme that repeats itself time and time again. We saw it in Maimonides.
Right.
And also in repentance, which is self-review. We see Tuesday afternoon. They're all different approaches,
right.
Different angles, but they're all headed towards, you know, basically self-improvement, self-accountability, and, you know, with a view towards just trying to do the best you can.
Right. And a self-accountability and a self-review, a self-reflection, is driven by a sense of eternal value, which is the point that the Ramchal makes very vigorously at the beginning of the third paragraph.
Yeah, sometimes I think, you know, you were on the Ramchal, we spoke of this last time, that, you know, this notion that you're supposed to do it because it's the right thing to do, this notion of you do it because you can go to heaven.
Right.
Sometimes I think you got to keep it in perspective.
Right.
But that
connection between, well, for him, a paragraph and Bayes, yeah, is the sense of the big picture and then the self-reflections, they come together in Paragimel, right, where he says that the first thing you need to do, the first practical aspect of self-reflection is understanding you'll be asking yourself two questions, like what the ideal and the real, which is really what he's talking about here. Yeah. And now let's bring it together with yet another mission in Pirkei Avos, here in paragraph Dalet. Yitachein shezeh shenechleku avos perek beis mishnah tes. There's a machlokas in Pirkei Avos, which is very rare in Pirkei Avos. Machlokas is very rare in Pirkei Avos. It tends to just be a series of statements. When the only times you have machlokas is zoi derech yishar shizuk b'hadam. I believe it was Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai who told us tamim tzu'uru'u. Go out and see. Investigate. Ponder what's a derech yishar shizuk b'hadam. What's the straight path that a person ought to attach, to which a person ought to attach himself? So one says ayin tova, one says chaver tov, a good eye and a good friend. And finally, Lezer says lev tov, a good heart. And then the Rebbe says roeh ani is the very Rebbe Lezer ben Azaria shebechal devarav devarichem. I see, sounds like I adopt, I approve. The words of Lezer ben Azaria, because what he said includes everything that you said. Lev Tov includes all the other approaches. It's a pretty Mishnah. What does it mean? what's a Lev Tov, and what sense does Lev Tov include Ayin Tova and Chavar Tov and so forth. So he says, Shabbat Emes, the Chuli Alma Lev Tov Yamida HaTova, Shal Kol Midas HaTova, Samas Achtos Liyaz Nimsa Echad Miyuchat. That all the Tanaim agreed that Lev Tov is the Midah Tov. He developed before this idea of there's a single Midah Tova. Says in the language of the Tanaim, that's called Lev Tov. A good heart means not only, well, in English, to be a good-hearted person means specifically to be compassionate. Compassion is an incredibly important midah. He says, but that's only one part of what we mean when we say Lev Tov. Chazanish argues that Lev Tov includes everything else, because Lev Tov really means the Midah Tov. It's almost reminiscent of Yaakov Kamenetsky's suggestion in Sefer and Chumash, I think in Vaschanon, the Parsha of Kriyashma, thinks that Lev in Biblical Hebrew, he says, he hasn't found the term Biblical Hebrew for the brain. In Mishnaic Hebrew, it's Moach. That's not a Biblical term. He says, how could it be? There's no term Biblical Hebrew for the brain. So he suggested the word Lev means both heart and mind. A multi-layered suggestion and a profound comment.
It's different than what we say every morning when you put on tefillin.
Yes, correct. Alev Amoch, right. Yes, absolutely. That passage is written in Rabbinic Hebrew.
Right. But there are two different functions being served.
Yes. Right. When you talk about
Shayad
is near the heart, and the Sharosh is near the brain. And there are different words for Rosh and Yad. But Yaakov suggests that the word Lev refers to both that which is near the Yad, the Lev in terms of as far as the heart, as well as that which is near the head, meaning the brain. It's a somewhat radical suggestion. But there's a lot of profundity to what underlies it. And that's, I think, captured here also. To say that Lev Tov is not just good emotions, Lev Tov means deeply good decision-making.
Well, the heart being the seat of emotion, and the brain being the seat of logic, the stress there would seem to be on logic.
Right. That's what I'm saying. When he says that this idea is referred to as Lev Tov, that sounds like he's looking at a broader definition of the word Lev. So he says, everyone agrees to that. The debate was, the Chazanish suggests, debate in terms of tactics. What are the means to get to the Lev Tov? The Amrusha Yavar Lev Tov Eino Melamed Klubam B'Emtzayim Lavoli De Bir HaMavukash. So we all agree that that's the goal. The question is how to get there. And how you're gonna develop that? So he says, look, you look at different Sifrei Musar. The different sicknesses of the soul, he's using the terminology the Rambam uses in Hilchos Deis, the different problems, defects of character development, defects of midos. There's so many different presentations, as many as there are people, because each person has his own personality. And different Chachmei HaMusar have different perspectives. So he says, skipping down a few lines, Kasher danu hachachamim ezo derech yishar she'avar lo ha'adam. The debate among the Talmidei Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was not a din of psak din yavish. It wasn't a dry psak to say a person asei kach. No, it was lahamides hacholi al ofyo haneman lahamid rufu asa amas kunta haneemana. What's the truest way to look at the problem? What's the most effective way to solve it? Minikudu tar hachacham la roch is Torah Samusr. Chacham is going to put together an approach to Musr, l'sakein nishnasa, l'sader parakeh, to organize the contents of Musr, and to convey it to the tzibur in an effective way, l'masr l'tzibur, each one of these chachamim developed a practical approach to Musar built around one central midah. Was it friendship? Or was it how you perceive things? Right? Was it Chavar Tova? Was it Ayin Tova? And they said, oh, each Chacham has his own perspective. It could show at the very bottom of this paragraph, they told him, go out and see, how do lechaber sefer amidos? Write a sefer Musar. I don't know if he means literally write a book, but certainly develop an approach, develop a presentation, the approach that can be shared with and be taught to others. And so he says, and with this we close this paragraph, he said, no, but you're going to start from the core. He said, all agree that the goal is to get to Lev Tov, but they all sort of, let's sort of jump in from one application. Let's start with this midah, we'll build from there. Let's start with that midah, we'll build from there. But Zazar said, no, let's start with the core. Let's teach people at its core, open with the recognition of how are you making decisions, open the recognition of what's your goal. You're going to excite people about striving for truth, about avas chayolam. We're going to excite people about striving for eternal life, striving for real meaning, not getting distracted by the ephemeral chayesha. Attack that directly instead of breaking it down into component parts. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, Roani divrei was mazar. I see what he says. This re'iyah means iyun halev, be'ema kamoskos. I've thought about this profoundly, and it's all about profundity. That's what Blazer Mazar is saying. Start with the pnimius. Don't start with the presentations. Don't start with the applications. Start with the core. Let's work from the inside out. And the Chazanish says, in Rabbi ben Azariah and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's acceptance, Rabbi ben Azariah's approach, I'm capturing what Rabbi ben Azariah was driving at. So tonight we had a chance to see the first idea, which is seeing a single core to all midos. Mitzvah next time, next week, we'll go on to take it to the next step, and he's going to begin to synthesize even more midos. Not only midos are fundamentally one, but midos are part of an even larger unit. We'll pick up with that mitzvah next time. Thank you so much. Yeah.